I'd like to start this morning and give you some reasons why we're here. If you turn with me to Leviticus chapter 23, verses 1 and 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel, and say to them, The feast of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be," and note this, "a holy convocation. These are my feasts." Drop down to verse 41. Here it tells us how long we are to keep the feast. "You shall keep it as a feast to the Lord for 7 days in the year. It shall be," and note this, "a statute forever in your generation." It'll never end. It'll always be a statute forever. Verses 42 and 43 tell us when and how we are to keep it. This is a command to appear before the King of all creation. He has called you and I out of this gloomy, darkened world to shine a light on His coming kingdom. We are to be that light. Note this in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. "Let your light shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." The eternal God has given us a task for our lives, for a wonderful work. Next, please turn to Deuteronomy chapter 16 and verse 14. "And you shall rejoice in your feasts, you and your son and your daughters, your male servant and your female servant, and the Levite, the stranger, and the fatherless, and the widow are within your gates." So we are to rejoice. We're to be happy here at the feast. That's what the Father in heaven wants for us. He cares about each of us, and He's forgotten none of us. Also, verse 16 tells us, "The Lord your God chose the place we are to meet." Our God does this through His ministry. And it is a wonderful place here that we are meeting. And another one now in Wales. Very wonderful places that God has chosen for us. Again, the Feast of Tabernacles pictures what will be coming to this earth in the not too distant future. The establishment of God's kingdom. Turn with me now to Isaiah chapter 2, verse 2 through 4, to see what will be. "Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on top of the mountains, and it shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, 'Come, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us His ways, and we will walk in His paths.' For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore." That will be a wonderful time. This world will be transformed. War, pain, and suffering will be done away with under the rulership of Jesus Christ, and we will be helping as kings and priests under the authority of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. We are gathered to learn these lessons now. We are learning to keep the commandments of God and to observe all of God's holy days and Sabbaths. We are called out of this world as ambassadors of God's kingdom to become kings and priests. We start this process when we are committed to do God's will, by first being baptized and receiving God's Holy Spirit. We are called the first fruits. and will be in the first resurrection and will be kings and priests in the world ahead. What a great opportunity. Death will no longer have power over any of us. We will rule with Christ, the only begotten Son of God, for 1,000 years in the coming kingdom of the world ahead. We will be teaching how to keep the commandments and the holy days of God. Note this in Revelation 20, verse 6. Blessed and holy is he who has a part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. Think of that. We'll live forever. Death will be done away completely. And they shall be priests of God in Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Where will this be? And where will you and I be teaching? Turn to Revelation chapter 5, verse 10. This is speaking of you and I. And have made us kings and priests to our God. And note this, we shall reign on the earth. Most of the world thinks or believes they will go to heaven. But this is wrong. But you and I know where God's kingdom will be established. This was revealed to each of us by God's Holy Spirit. You and I are gathered here on the feast days and Sabbaths, not because we are better than others. On the contrary, note this in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 26 through 29. For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty nor noble are called, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are. Note this, that no flesh should glory in his presence. Here we are reminded why we are called and are to appear this Feast of Tabernacles. We are called to continue to learn of the God's great plan to be able to teach others in the world ahead. We will hear things that we may have heard before. They will be repeated many times. This is good, for we are each children here. We're not old, though I stand before you in this physical body older, but we are not old. And it says, and this is good, because we need things repeated. Yes, over and over again, so that we'll act on God's word, not being just hearers of the word, but doers, as told in James chapter 1, verse 22. As we hear things repeated, it enters our minds and hearts. Then we begin to act on the word, and then we become doers of the word. An example might be when someone speaks harshly to us, we might want to respond to them in kind, but lost my thought for a moment. However, we might recall a scripture like Romans chapter 12, verse 17, where it says to us, repay no evil for evil. It is a process to learn the right way to act and deal with others in a loving way, the way God deals with you and I. May each of us consider the words of Christ in Matthew, verses 18, 3 and 4. Surely I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. We are learning to be humble toward each other and not thinking highly of ourselves. By considering others first, children are teachable. They're ready to learn. We must be the same. In conclusion, for my last reason to be here, that you and I may be humbled before our great God and to His glory, and be grateful that we are called to be His children in the coming world ahead, to be kings and preach, to teach others all that we have learned.